It's getting switched on. What an amazing church that you belong to. I love Sunday mornings. And it so happens that this is the last Sunday morning that we will get to share in the United States of America. Then we go back into Ireland, just bordering Europe. And then back into the move of God right there. But I love Sunday mornings and I love churches just like this. You can't get a church just like this by opening the doors and a few people showing up. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of fighting the enemy. It takes a lot of Holy Ghost. Amen. It just takes a lot of love of God for to complete a church like you have here. This is an amazing place. And I really believe that the Spirit of the Lord would be trying to say to you that your giving and your alms has come up before Him. And I think this is going to be, as your pastor said, a significant morning. This is what you could call the icing on the cake. 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 The icing on the cookie. Okay, I really believe this is something special. You've probably not been in a meeting like the one you're about to get into. This will not scare you. We won't embarrass you. We won't offend you. We just move in the Holy Ghost. When He wants to love on you, He knows exactly where you are. He knows who you are. And He knows what He wants to do with a body just like this. All over Ireland right now, and it's started in Europe, the awakening has begun. We're seeing things now in our nation that we've never seen before. We're beginning to see God moving in a way that we dreamt about and prayed about, but always in the back of your mind you thought, will never come. Well, we're right in it right now, and we're seeing the most extraordinary things. And I can sense it for the United States of America. You're brinking. You're on the brink of something fantastic. You maybe just come to the one church so you wouldn't get to see the things that we see. But when you travel around so many locations and so many churches and all over the place, you can get to sense, you can get to see what's going on. And there's a freshness, there's a newness, there's a new resolve, there's a new determination in the hearts of the born-again believers. And I really believe there's a discontentment has now arrived in the house of the Lord. And it's not that they're discontented with the pastor or discontented with the color of the walls. They just know that there's something more out there. And they don't know what it is or how to put a name on it. They just know there's something more. Look at somebody say, there's something more. I come to tell you there's something more. And we're seeing it right now in Ireland. We're seeing it mainly in the southern parts of Ireland. But we're seeing a serious increase of people coming to the Lord Jesus, especially from the Catholic backgrounds. We are seeing the most phenomenal miracles. And these are not on a one-off basis. You know, as churchgoers, especially as Pentecostals, we're always praying for the sick. And we used to see just something here and something there. No, we're seeing it now on a consistent basis. We were seeing cancers getting healed on the spot. One meeting I was in away up in the mountains, and there was six people stood up, and the following week we got a report that the six had went to the hospital and all six had come back with testimonies that they had no longer got cancer. So we're seeing God. Our nation is in an epidemic proportions with cancer. I think it's now 1 in 3. It's probably 1 in 4 are down to 1 in 3 people that has cancer. So it's time for the Lord to arise. Amen. I'd like to honor your pastor and your pastor's wife. Tremendous people. We've not known them that long. I got to meet him over lunch one day. But I was talking to one guy, but my inner ears were listening over on him. And he didn't say anything, but I could hear the Lord saying a lot about you. That you're going places, that you got things to do, you got places to go, and you got people to meet. And I think that this church are so blessed to have you, but you're so blessed to have them. And this is a coupling, because for these guys, we just got them, they're only in back from Peru, and for you guys to release them to go is a whole phenomenal all on his own. You just not would not believe that. So when I heard that this morning, the way he is be operating in here, I thought this is special. This is really special. I really want to prophesy to your church before we get this all over, because God is going to raise up some tremendous boys and girls in this place. Look at somebody say, he's talking about you now.
He's going to raise up some young people and some older people that still think they're young people. But he's going to raise up some old and some young. And this is a go ye church. Believe you me, this is a go ye church. And even if you're not going, you'll be the one that'll support to get there. But people will come back from the nations, and they'll come back with stories and testimonies. And what you're seeing out there will break loose right in here. As many signs, wonders, and miracles out there will take place in here. And the banner over your house won't just be about your giving, but it will be about the place where the Holy Spirit is seated. And people will come in lame, and they'll come in halt, and they'll come in with their diseases, but they'll go back out there shouting the praises of God and have a testimony, because they won't die, but they'll live, and they'll get to declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Is anybody ready for that type of church? Well, I really believe with all my heart that's where God's going. So we're going to have fun with us this morning. I got a word with you again. I want to thank you, pastors, and for you guys, because you've so much going on here. It's just unbelievable that really you didn't even need us here this morning. We appreciate that you moved the furniture to allow us to come here to tell you exactly what God is doing in other parts of the world and bring you a word. But you're busy, and you really didn't. You could have just went on without us. This is a phenomenal church. Look at somebody saying, you're not bad looking either. So I hope, before I get into this, I really hope that you understand my Irish accent. I'm doing the best to have a Georgia accent, but it's not easy when you're Irish, okay? It's a little better than when your Peruvian is trying to do it, but I can say y'all, okay? So I got there, and I'm ready. This is my wife, Laura. Could you stand up for 30 seconds, please? This is the wife of my youth. We have eight children. And we have 11 grandchildren. We just got notification that their son, his wife, they're just expecting twins, and they're identical twins, and they phoned us at 5 a.m. in the morning to tell us that. That could have waited to 10 a.m., but no. It had to be told at 5 a.m., so I'm telling you, this Corey household is extending by the minute. Fabulous, absolutely. It's an honor, and for this two young couple that has driven us all over this nation. I think last week we did over 1,100 miles together. And him and I get to sit up the front and laugh, and sometimes you have to park the car because you laugh that hard, don't we? It's just an awesome deal. And to know so many great people in this nation, it's just wonderful. You have a tremendous, tremendous nation. You have so many things going for you. Do not allow the enemy nor a government get you to believe that you're a nobody. Do not allow anybody in a neighboring town to tell you you're losers or you're nobodies. You are not. You are not. You are set for breakthroughs. You are set to touch the hearts of nations. You were raised up to be champions that would move and shake and cause other nations to reach out their hand and say, come to me, come and help us. The Macedonian call's still out there. There's people, the nations need us. They need us praying. They need you to pray, but they need you to go, and they need you to bring the wealth of information that you have in God. But this morning we're going with us somewhere, because I gotta move real quick, because I just want to deal. I was looking at this morning. I believe we can just about deal with everybody. I went back home. We just line everybody up and prophesy to everybody, and I think we can handle that. Now I do have one more meeting to go to this afternoon, so as I have a certain cutoff point, we've got to be in Atlanta by 4 o'clock, so I have to finish by 3:30. Is that right? Okay. I thought I was back in Ireland. Okay. All right. Now let me give you a scripture, and then we'll get into where we're really going. We're going to two passages of scripture. Let me introduce it this way. Psalm 102 and verse 13 says that thou shalt arise. He's talking to the Lord. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, or upon the church, or upon the body of Christ. You shall arise and have mercy upon us. Listen to this. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. The appointed moment, the time on God's PDA, the time on God's day planner. There's a day when God has set aside when he would visit again the house of God, when he would visit his people, when he would come do things that he has not done in a long, long time. And I would like to tell you folks, there is a shift that has taken place in the spirit realm. We are not in the same place that we were 2 months ago. You are not in a place that you were 2 years ago. This is a new season. This is a new day. This is a new time. You have moved into a season where the very favor of God will come upon you in the most unique manners. Look at somebody say, this is going to be exciting. Look at somebody say, this is my time. Look at somebody and say, I'm honored to be sitting beside you this morning. I like to put it this way, the awakening has begun. Where did that book go? Where did that book go? Have you got it? Let me tell you about this here. I'm not trying to sell a book. I'm not interested in seals. I'm not interested in offerings or any such thing. I'm interested in the Holy Spirit. I just want to see what God wants to do through ordinary people. But I had such an experience in 2008, and I don't want to get down this road because I've got a missed message for you. But in 2008, I had an experience with the Holy Spirit that radically and dramatically changed me and changed me forever. It wasn't one of these, woo-hoo! It was one of those one that broke you to the core. It's one of those that emptied you until there was nothing left on the inside of you. It was one of those deals that He didn't do with the church, He did inside me. And when He was working through me, I didn't care what else He was doing. Listen, if signs, wonders, and miracles broke out, I wasn't interested. The holiness of Almighty God was confronting me. His presence would come upon me. And it made you in such a way that whatever it would take, whatever it costs, for to get His Spirit to remain with me was the big deal. And I've often said it's not hard to get the Spirit of God to come. Because God so loved the world that He loves everybody and wants nobody to perish. And the assignment of the Holy Spirit is to go after everybody. It is not hard to get the Holy Spirit to come. To get Him to remain is a whole other ball game altogether. And my pursuit and my quest is when He came to me on a visitation is, what does it take to get Him to stay with me? What do I need to shift? What do I need to do that the Spirit of God would, that I could be where He is at all times? Not that He would be with me, but that I could be with Him. Whatever was in my life, I didn't need it anymore. I needed everything removed. But I found out that while God was dealing with me, and I stood up on the following week to tell the church what had happened, that it broke loose across my church. And I never did even get to tell the people what happened. They just started weeping in their seats. And the Spirit of God moved across the aisles. And people knelt down and openly repented before God for sins. People got up of their pews and went and hugged other people that they had bitterness in their heart against for years. Nobody told them to do it. We never told anybody to do anything. The Spirit of God just came with a supernatural act. And the church went from a handful of people until we were wall-to-wall human beings overnight. We didn't advertise. People came because they heard the Holy Spirit was in town. When I watched God take the hearts of people and put such a hunger inside them, a hunger, you cannot get hungry for God unless God puts the hunger on the inside of you. But I watched God put such a hunger. If you ever want to pray for revival, don't pray for revival, pray for a hunger. When the hunger for God comes on the inside of you, you will chase after Him. You will pant after Him like a deer panteth after the water. You will be consumed with this one fact. I've got to find Him. I've got to touch the hem of His garment. I've got to know Him. I just want to find out more. Your consuming passion moment by moment will be, what does it take? And every moment He comes and you'll know that He's there. He rests upon your flesh, upon your body, that you know that He's there. And when He's there, it's like all the world has just left and such tremendous things has happened. He begins to empty you so He can fill you. A lot of people want filled when God hasn't emptied them yet. He can't fill you until you're emptied. It's no use trying to fill that vinegar jar if it's full. You gotta empty it to make room for more. And I went through an emptying, but when God emptied me, then He filled me. And when He filled me, then it didn't matter whether the people cheered, clapped, wanted to put the babies in your arms and photograph you. It made no odds. People say it's dangerous when they're clapping, they want your autograph. It made no odds to me because I was no longer consumed with the clap or cheer or the appreciation of human beings, but I'm still in pursuit of the Master. What does it take to chase after Him for to have Him? And He never left me. It used to take forever before He would come, and then suddenly He would be there at all times. You get up to minister and He would come and He would change your heart. But I watched Him change a nation. I have watched Him change a nation. I'm just an ordinary pastor till things broke loose. And all of a sudden the doors of the nations began to open. People wanted you to come. I watched awakening take place all over in every location we'd ever go. I'd watch people's heart get changed. It didn't matter whether you were come from a no background or from a high background. God had always something to say and something to do in a heart that would transform them and transfix them and change them. It's the work of the Spirit. No program can do it. No learned individual can do it. Fancy preaching will never do it. It is the work of the Spirit. I love talented people, but I've sat in high places with multi-talented people, and I've sat and I thought, fantastic, but when is the Spirit of God coming? You know when He comes in and you know when He's not there, and it's awesome when He's there. He makes everything change around. And people used to tell us your story, Joe, but there's so much to it that I never got a chance. So one day I sat down and I wrote it in a book. It's a thin book, but it encapsulates the first months of what happened in my pursuit, what I needed to do to get a hold of Him. It's just hot off the press, and there's some out there. So I really don't want to go down that line this morning. I want to tell you where you are and what's going to happen. Is that okay? Is that okay? Because that way you can get a hold of the book and you can do it. And if you don't want to buy the book, well, some other time I'll sit and share it with you. But I'd like to give that to you. I want to tell you something. I think you've already paid a price. And it's not for the book, but it's for what's in that book. You're a marked man. You cannot do what God needs you to do, sir, by intellect or good looks. You can't do it that way. You can only do it by a visitation of the Spirit of God. You have set yourself up for God to so work on the inside of you that He will move you and shift you, and He will do things that you'll stand on that platform and you'll not know what to say next, and it will roll out of you that will transform human beings in front of you. There's books just like this that you will write that you'll change nations. I'm giving this to you, but I know as soon as I'm giving it to you, it releases something into your life that wasn't there before. God's coming for you. He's marked you. He knows exactly who you are, and He knows what you are, and He knows where you are. He's looking for you, and He's found you. There's something coming into your life that will make all the difference in the world. You have set, you have located, you have found where He dwells. Now He come to dwell with you. There's things that you will never share them with anybody else. It's just things that He'll talk to you about. But if you make the adjustments, He'll adjust right to where you are. You're about to enter into a whole new phase of your life in Jesus' name. Now, so I say this to tell you that the shift has begun. This is not something we're waiting on. This is something that has started. This has already begun. Something good is going to happen, and you're going to be included. You will be involved. Now, here's where the real scripture comes in. We want to look at Exodus chapter 8. Exodus, book. You understand that? Exodus. Book of Exodus chapter 8. Let's say it my way. Book of Exodus chapter 8. There's a move of God coming to your house. And I just can't wait any longer to tell this to you. There's a move of God coming to your house, sir. Not just to you, but to your house. It'll be like a whirlwind that'll hit. It'll be one of those suddenlies. One day, a minute, it'll just be ordinary. It'll be the prayer. It'll be the intercession. It'll be the waiting. But in a second of time, like a whirlwind hitting, it will change. And I want to prophesy to you, 2014 will be a tremendous year for you. It'll even start off in the right direction. Give me your hands. But you're going to see the Lord moving in the most supernatural supernatural manner in your way, such a way that your folks will phone you and say, is this right what we're hearing? We heard this is going on. Is this true? They will be so shocked, but God is about to do it. It has already been done in your house, sir. You're just about to pick up the reapings of it. But don't get greedy with this now, because when God breaks loose, you get to break loose on everybody else. This is your morning. This is your time. He's interrupted me. I can't believe this. We're not supposed to do this in the house of the Lord. Behave yourselves a minute till I get to this preach. Are you with me? Exodus chapter 8, verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning. That's how you know it's the Lord, because he never sends you in the afternoon. He always tells you to get up early in the morning. He says, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. In other words, get up one more time and face that devil head on. Stand before Pharaoh, for lo, he comes forth to the water. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they might serve me. That's the reason God wants to let you go. He doesn't want to let you go that you can get fixed up and then go back to where you came. That's not God's deal. God wants to fix you up so that he will have a champion, so that he will have somebody empowered by the Holy Ghost and fit so that he can use you into that community out there bringing signs, wonders, and miracles. He said, let my people go that they might serve me, or else. I like it when God gets tough with the devil. Amen. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send a swarm of flies upon you and upon your servants and upon your people, and in your houses and in the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also on the ground whereon they are. And I will sever, this is verse 22, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen. The land of Goshen now was the Egyptians had the people of God had them enslaved, but they were not allowed to stay in the encampment of the Egyptians. Instead, they pushed them into another quarter called Goshen. And God says, in that day, I will now sever, or I'll set apart that land, the land of Goshen, where my people are, where my people dwell, and there will be no swarms of flies there. To this end, that you might know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and your people, and this sign shall be unto you by tomorrow. This thing starts tomorrow, he says. But I'm about to make a difference. I'm about to make a separation so that you will know who belongs to which camp. Look at somebody, say, it's about time. Absolutely. See, this, whenever God spoke this, is not the first plague. Actually, you're at the third plague. Three plagues has already taken place at this particular point. And God speaks. The first one was all the water in the land turned to blood. You do remember the story. All the water, if you turned on the faucet, if you flushed the loo, if it rained, if there was a pond, it doesn't. Wherever there was water, it supernaturally turned to blood. So you'd go to put your hand on one of those things. I went to do that in the hotel the other night to get a drink of water, and it just soaked me right. You know one of them things you push the... Anyway, maybe you've got to be lined up before you hit it, but I didn't. I stood back and hit it, and it got me. But even in those days, if you hit the water fountain came out blood. Absolutely. And then the next plague was the frogs came. So there was frogs in your hunting boots. There was frogs in your pockets. When you go to turn the blanket back at night to get into bed, the frogs hopped from all over your bed. You opened the refrigerator and the frogs came hopping out of your refrigerator. Frogs! Everywhere you went, there was frogs. It was a plague. And then there was lice, or this disease came on the cattle in the field, so the cattle would be shaking their head and a cattle almost driven berserk. And up to this point, and here's the hard bit to take, it's a judgment against the Egyptians, it's a judgment against Pharaoh, but up to this point, not only was the Egyptians getting hit, but also God's people's having to live through the whole same thing. So when the water didn't work for the Egyptians, the water didn't work for God's people. When the frogs was in the refrigerator of the Egyptians, the frogs is in the refrigerator of God's people. When the cattle's going berserk on the fields for the Egyptians, the cattle's going berserk on the fields of the believers. Up to this point, up until this point, the believers are going through the exact same thing that the unbelievers are going through. It's a curse. And now God's people is living through the whole thing till God one day said, enough. Look at somebody say, enough. God said, enough is enough is enough. I have done that up to this point. But from this moment, there's a shift coming. There's something going to happen, and I'm going to make a difference between your people and between my people, so they will know there is an absolute difference without a shadow of doubt. Up until this point in time, ladies and gentlemen, the religions of the world, even the Christian religion, has tried to make the difference. But we have done it in such a way that all it has brought was pain and misery and separation, where people look down their noses at each other. To some degree, it's even caused wars in our country. For 30 years, we buried and bombed and shot and assassinated people because they just believed something different than the rest of us. So all man has ever done with their separation is called wars and troubles. But that's not the way God does things. For God says, I'm about to do something different, son. I'm about to make a difference. Look at somebody say, he's going to make a difference. And he's going to make a difference this time, because you and I are living through a darkness like everybody else. Because God says, I'm going to do it different now. I'm about to show up with signs, wonders, and miracles. So when things you're going through, the things that they are going through, but they will have no help and they will have no answers, but you will have answers. Look at somebody say, answers are on his way. God says, I'm about to make a difference. So when it hits their camp and it's hit your camp, yours will clear up that quick, but theirs won't. So they'll say, we need to get over to this camp, because if we move to their camps, we'll get the same deal also. Absolutely. God is about to visit the church of the living God. He's about to visit his people again, like the book of Acts, with signs, wonders, and miracles. So those that's lame and halt, so those that's no medication, those that can't get insurance, those that can't get healed will have to come back into the house of God, and it'll no longer just be programs, but it'll be Holy Ghost, signs, wonders, and miracles. And for years we have left it up to just one or two people in the congregation. The thing is about to reverse. God's going to use us all. Look at somebody say, he's talking about you now. He has those assigned in the office to it that works in the church. But you got to understand that it's not just the church where God wants to touch people. It's in the community. It's in your Walmart. It's in your Dollar General. It is in your grocery stores. Because we can't always be there as ministers, but you can be there as public. And when you stand beside somebody at the refrigerator and they start to break down and cry because their granny took ill, or because their husband had a stroke, or because their baby just fell off a horse. Let me tell you something. They don't have time to get to the church, so the church has to come to them. Look at somebody say, God's going to use you to make a difference. And after this morning, something's going to be activated in your life, and those healing and miracle gifts is about to be I came to activate it. I come to push your buttons. I come to release you. I come to hit the button on the inside that will cause the anointing to flow in you and through you. Here's how you will know. People will come to you out there and say, I haven't slept for 3 weeks. And you'll think, well, why are they telling me that? It's because there's an anointing in you, and it'll be like a magnet. It'll draw people to you from this. Is anybody ready for this? Absolutely. Because after that, then the rest of the plagues came. The flies came that he was prophesying about. The flies came. And people were wiping the flies over. But if you went over to the camp where God's people was, not a fly to be seen. Look at somebody say, no mosquito formed against me shall prosper. No, healed. There was hailstones, like hard pieces of golf ball snow was falling and hurting the people in the Egyptians, probably killing them. But you go over into where God's people, they weren't getting damaged at all. Then the cattle began to die on the fields. But you go into the camp of the believers, their cattle wasn't dying at all. Then the Bible says the ninth plague was, there was a darkness came upon the whole nation for 3 days and three nights. There was not a light to be seen. If you switched on your mobile phone, it just wouldn't light up. It wouldn't work. You go to turn your TV on and it wouldn't light. You couldn't get the game on Saturday. There was no lights. You switch the light out, it wouldn't work. You go to put money in the meter and it didn't make any odds. There's no light. Total, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face for 3 days and 3 nights. But if you went over to the believers, they're sitting up there day and night playing with their PlayStations, their Xboxes, and they're watching the game on Saturday. For God says, I will make a difference. Then the firstborn died. The firstborn died. But not a child stirred or died in the camp of God's people. God is about to make a difference again. And I'll tell you how I found this all out. I was coming out of a grocery store maybe 6 months ago now. And as I was walking out through the grocery store, there's a newspaper stand right at the entrance. And I was walking out, and I don't really read the newspapers. I've got an iPad and I get all the news and that. But as I was walking out, I glanced over at the newsstand and I couldn't help but miss this. There was a newspaper. It was our national, British national newspaper. And the headline was so big it kept my attention. It was a black background. But then it was in bold white letters. And as I looked, I could hardly believe what I was seeing. So I walked back to have a better look, and it said on it, by the year 2020, the year 2020. And I thought, man, that's a million light years away. And then it dawned on me, this is the year 2013. That's only 7 years away. It was actually less, 6.5 years, but let's call it 7. What did this announcement on our local newspaper said this? Within 7 years, 40% of our population would either be dead or dying from cancer. 40%. It so grabbed me. I was able to calculate that real quick, because if there's two people in your house within 7 years, one of them will either be dead or else we are on serious treatment for trying to keep them alive. If four people's in the house, then two of them's dead now. Within seven years, two of them. Well, if you've got a family of 8 children and us just 10 of us, they're trying to tell me within 7 years I will have buried half of my children, or maybe even Laura and I. They're high, very high statistics. They did not tell us why. They just said this is what the experts said. Before 2020, 40% of our nation will be dead, or at least being treated with this thing. When I saw that, Laura was walking straightly forward. So I said, hey, Laura, come here. I think I shouted in such a way, with such shock, it got other people's attention. So they're all looking at the headlines. And I looked at that. And I said, look at this. I said, they're trying to tell us either me and you will be dead within 7 years with cancer, or else being treated for cancer. I said, Laura, you know what that's telling me? I said, that's telling me now that it's time for the healing ministries to be released again in the house of God. I said, we can't wait for 7 years till you find a lump or a bump. You got to understand, when you go to the doctor and they examine you and said you've got cancer, that's not the day the cancer arrived. That thing's been moving through your system for the last couple of years. It's been there before. So I said, Lord, this thing is telling me now that God is about to release healing ministries. The body of Christ is going to come into a place where signs, wonders, and miracles, especially that healing gifts, will begin to operate in the body of Christ again like they did at the beginning. And so that they don't always have to come to church because they're too sick to come to church. But right out there is where the miracles and the signs and the wonders will begin to happen. I pointed to it. I said, look, Laura, that's telling me. I said, here's what we're going. I'm doing this in the middle of the supermarket. But I said, here's what we're going to do. If this what they say, forecast and trying to put fear into us, if this is what they're telling us, I said, when we get to church in the morning, this was a Saturday, I said, when we get to church in the morning, we're going to line up every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, and other people who can bring their photographs of their family or whatever. But we're going to line them up in our church, and we're going to stop what we're doing, and we're going to go down and pray over every person's immune system, so that whatever's already started will stop in Jesus' name. And before that rascal ever gets loosed, we'll put a stop to it. Look at somebody say, put a stop to it. Absolutely. So that next morning I came and I told the people what the newspaper had said. I said, but Jesus Christ is about to make a difference and we're going to put a stop to this. And we lined everybody up and we prayed over their immune system. If you don't mind, I'd like to pray over your immune system this morning. Do you think that would be okay? I'd like to pray over your immune system that this thing that the world is now facing will not visit your doorstep. David put it this way, 1,000 may fall in my left and 10,000 will fall on my right, but it's not coming near my dwelling. Look at somebody say, it's not coming near my house. No, absolutely not. It is not coming near my house. So I saw that and I thought, man alive, I feel good about this. I wasn't feeling good about their statistics, but I realize now, if it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen now. When this announcement is meant to put fear into the hearts of the people, because the Bible says in the end times that man's heart would be perplexed. Man's heart would fail them with fear of things to come. And the newspaper have a habit of doing this. But I realized that was not an announcement from hell. That was an announcement from heaven to tell us to get ready for them, that healing anointing to be released. How many in this building this morning would like to be able to walk into Walmart or into the Dollar General or be filling up with gas and have the ability to walk the other side of the pump and lay hand on some little family or lay hands on some little guy and see a supernatural act of God? How many people would like that? See, the body of Christ has been longing for this for a long time, but we've not been in a position for this to happen. But we are about to move in. The shift has taken place. In fact, within a few days after that, there was another announcement that they made, and they said that about across the UK, they said that church attendance is in so much decline that within 5 years, they said, then the church will be almost closed. And when I read that, I said, that's an announcement from heaven that the evangelists, that the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ are about to come out of the pews and hit the streets and fill the churches one more time. Are you with me this morning? It's time. Look at somebody say, it's time. They actually said in another one just after an article about our nation, and it said that within 5 years that the beef, we would be running out of beef if we didn't ration it right now. We don't have enough beef left for 5 years. But I realized that again was propaganda from hell itself to try to put fear in us so that we wouldn't be able to eat burgers. Look at somebody say, just go home and eat a burger. But I realized that the devil just trying to steal the burger out of my mouth. I understand. He told that because the Bible says, here's what the Bible says in the Gospel of 1 John. Here's what in the writings of John. Here's what he said. Beloved, he's not writing to the strangers now. He's writing to the church. He says, I wish above all things, in other words, top of the list, I wish above all things is that you prosper, that you be in health, even as your soul prospers. See, we got so out of sync with the prosperity that we forgot to read the rest of the scripture, which says it is in accordance to, or as your soul prospers, or as your intimacy with God connects, as you get closer to your Heavenly Father, that His thoughts become your thoughts, His ideas become your ideas, His vision becomes your vision. He could then prosper you to enable you to succeed with what He has already asked you to do. Are you with me? But we screwed that all up and we took the prosperity thing and went over the wall with it, where you had to have a yacht and a mansion and your walls wallpapered with $5 bills. Look, if you've got a yacht, I'll go sailing with you. If you've got a nice house with a barbecue, I'll come round and we'll eat barbecue. And if you want to wallpaper your wall with $5 bills, hallelujah, I'll come round and take photographs of it. I'm not adverse to it. We need all types of stuff. But I really don't think that's what he's talking about. He said, I want you to prosper. The word prosper actually means just to be successful. To achieve that, it actually means to achieve the predicted outcome. The predicted outcome is the promise that God has already given you. Are you with me? So when God told you you can, then God already makes provision to enable you to do it. He wants you to be provided for. So I knew we weren't going to run out of burgers, so I immediately went down and had myself another one. Woo! Yes! y'all. Okay, now listen. So I thought, I'm not letting this get a hold of me, man. I said, we're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. I knew this would be our time. But God wants to prosper us. And He also wants us to be in health. So if there's something stealing our health, it's not God. It's not God that's stealing our health. There's something else at work in this nation. And we need to rise again, for the time to fever her has now come. We need to rise up with healing in our wings. Are you with me this morning? Is there any champions in the house? It's time for you and I to get bold again. It's time for you and I to rise up with confidence. If God said He can, then He can. If God says He wants to, then He really does. He just needs somebody who He can work through and use. And I realize that we need health. We need health. I realize when Lord does the healing line is just as necessary as the prophetic line. Everybody needs a word from God. Everybody needs direction from heaven. But I want to tell you something. If you've got direction, but you don't have the health to run the race, you're in a sorry state. So it needs two lines. We need the healing and we need the prophetic together. I realize God wants to heal us. It was several years ago when we were coming in. We flew into Atlanta. Atlanta's a big, big airport. And where we fly in from Dublin, it's usually in the back end of the airport. And then you have to grab your bags with the baggage. And then you have to walk to the far end somewhere. And I remember on one of those excursions when we were trying to get somewhere. We're late as usual. And we were running through the airport with our bags to try to get there. And I was exhausted. I looked around the Lord. I said, if we are ever going to complete this assignment, we're going to have to go to the gym. And then, so we ran on a bit further. And then I sat down on my luggage and I said, Lord, if you and I are ever going to complete all these things that God has asked us to complete, if we're ever going to complete it, then now is the time to do it. It's no use trying to do this in 20 years' time. We need to do it now. We need to start. We need to launch. We need to be right in the forefront of it. We need to do whatever God wants to do us while we've got the health and strength to do it. But I have seen along this road in the last 5 years, almost 5.5 years, in the most amazing move of God. I would go places, and one time I preached 17 meetings in a row. It was my mom was my secretary, and I don't know how she did this, but she booked 17 meetings back to back. And some of them I had to fly to England and then fly home, and a guy would pick me up and take me to the next meeting, and then somebody else would pick you down. You'd stay overnight, and somebody else would pick you up. And so I just never got a rest. 17 meetings in a row. I ended up in as far south as you can go in Ireland, a place called Cork. And I remember I didn't get to bed about 2 a.m., because the meeting goes on really late over there. You're praying for everybody, you know. And then you had to get up 8 o'clock the next morning because we were going to meet with some other pastors. I was so tired. And I sat in a little dining hall, and the presence of God came over me, and I started to weep. And there was a waitress was coming down that turned my head away. I didn't want her to see me weeping. And when I straightened up, with the presence of God came in, it was like, it was just this energy. And I sat straight up, and all of a sudden I wasn't tired. All of a sudden I wasn't exhausted. All of a sudden I had strength, and I phoned Laura. I said, Laura, I feel like a 16-year-old again. She said, well, stay down there. Anyway, I said, man, I feel like I could go out here and chase cars up and down the road. Now I got energy, I'm ready to go. But I watched God supernaturally charge me so that I could go to the next place and the next place and the next place. And it was just after that, because I dragged Laura all, and we go places, not just Laura, in the car, we're going again. And I tell you, the move of God will work you to the bone. You're just on the go. But I dragged her everywhere, and one day she said to me, I'm so tired. I'm so, so tired. I said, well, when we finish this meeting, you could maybe take some time off and I won't bother you for a while. And I remember in that particular meeting that I went to pray with somebody, and the Spirit of the Lord said, this is not for her, this is for her. And I swung around, it was Laura. And I laid hands on Laura and she hit the floor. And so I went back to minister to other people. And when she got up on the floor, she said, do you remember that happened to you in Cork? She said, it just happened to me there now. She said, where are we going next? Look at somebody say, I need some of that. So God knows how to energize. We need our health. We need our health. Everybody shout, we need our health. Absolutely. If we're going to finish this assignment, then we need our health. But this is not even about us. This is about them out there. This is about people out there. Because they do not know the Bible. The only Bible they know is the one that they read in you. They watch you smile coming out of your cars. They'll watch how you leave the sanctuary. They'll watch how you do your groceries. They'll watch how you, man and wife, handle each other going down there. They watch it everything. They're watching you. They're reading you like a book. They're watching you. But here's where it really hits. Because they have no help. And they don't know what to do anymore. And their children's going crazy. And their husbands are going crazy. And the women have got all types of complaints now. And there's no answer. There's no answer. If there is, it's coming too slow. But God says, I'm about to make a difference. I'm about to make a difference. Signs, wonders, and miracles. This is where we live. This is what we see all the time in our house. When our kids get sick, before they'll ever make a phone call to a pharmacist, they make a phone call to mama and say, could you pray for us? Till she pray down the phone. We get inundated with phone calls because they pray and ask Laura to pray. But let me tell you, we saw this break loose in our church after this, where the ordinary folk were laying hands on ordinary people, and we were beginning to see the signs, wonders, and miracles. This is where we're going for this morning. We're going to activate, y'all. We're going to activate. Is it doing all right? We're going to activate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's only three of them we need to bother with this morning, especially the gifts of healing. Are you with me? We're going to activate that in every born-again believer's life, even you. Even you, young man, we're going to activate this in your life. We're going to turn this loose on the inside of you. And then people will come to you, and then you simply pray and you watch God in action. We're going to operate that. The second thing we're going to pray for is miracles. Now let me help tell you this. The working of miracles will not work inside every human being in this building. The gifts of healing will. They'll work 24/7, and therefore every born-again believer that walks the planet. And what happens is the working of miracles cannot operate unless the other gift, which is called the gift of faith. Woo, that's a hard one. That right, faith. The gift of faith. When the gift of faith drops on the inside of you, you just cannot help but believe that God's just going to do that. Circumstances don't line up with it. There's in this wide world, there's no reason why this person should be better, but you just know that you know that you know. Under ordinary circumstances, you wouldn't believe that, because a miracle doesn't take place on simple things. A miracle takes place when somebody's got an oxygen mask on them, when their heart is given up, when they're diseased, when they've got holes in them because cancer has eaten through them, and their life hangs by a balance. An ordinary human being looks as that, just doesn't have the faith to believe that God can do something. So at that moment of time, the gift of faith drops on the inside of them, and when that happens, it activates, and you say, I just know. And at that point, you have get the thumbs up, the green light from heaven to ask now for a miracle. And when you pray, the gift of the working of miracles begins to operate inside the house of God. You're about to find this. We're going to activate the gift of working of the gift of healings on the inside of you this morning, so that every person can move. Are you with me? So that every person, you gotta understand that 95% of the healings that take place are not miracles. We call them miracles. If somebody gets healed because they were sick, we call it all a miracle. It's really not. It's really not. 95% of the healings that you see, it's really the gift of healings as an operation. So anybody can work that one. Anybody can do them. Well, that's a pretty relatively easy one to do. But periodically you get the other one where miracles take place. Now we see it all. 95% of the time it's the gift of healings. But we see this on a consistent basis where those miracles take place. We could tell you, we could stand up here just talking about miracles all morning, about Down syndrome babies got healed. We have seen such amazing, amazing things. But I just want to activate it in the inside of you. So the gift of healings. The gift of healings. A gift of healings, it doesn't always happen on the spur of the moment. You pray for somebody, they may not feel anything, but then 1 week later they come back and say, hey man, you know the thing that was wrong with me, it's not wrong with me anymore. Sometimes it takes 2 weeks. With the gift of healings, you gotta stick with it. Look at somebody say, stick with it. So you gotta phone them a week later and say, let me just pray with you again. The gift of healings, you gotta stick with it. But the work in miracles, you don't, because it's out and out. It just happens right there in front of your eyes. Are you with me? Do you understand this? Because when you understand this, when you lay hands on somebody because of the gift of healings, that then the minute you prayed for somebody, understand this in your thinking, the minute you laid hands on somebody, that disease stopped dead in its tracks. It absolutely stopped dead in its tracks. And it's not going to get any worse at that moment. It's not going anywhere. It may not be completely finished, but has stopped dead at that point. It takes a bit of time before it gets out of your system. Now, working in miracles is different because it just happens right on. My mom took a stroke. The first stroke that she took, it knocked out her left. It was left arm. Was it left arm or right arm? Can't remember now. It was the second stroke. The first stroke, she got over that real quick, but the second one took out her left arm and her left leg. Left arm, left leg. And there's a church we were praying, but I had preached on the Sunday morning, and normally we don't go to the hospital to visit her because we're always busy, because we still do Sunday night services as well. But I was laying down on top of the bed, and the Spirit of the Lord said, now's the time you need to go pray for your mom. So I said, Lord, we need to go now. So we jumped in the car and we went down to the hospital. And before any of the other visitors would come in, I said, Mom, we'll come to pray with you. And she said, that's good, son, because she said, this leg's not working. And she patted her leg. Like I said, this leg's not working. I said, that's what we come to pray for. And so Laura got up and Laura laid hands on her leg, and then Laura prayed for her. And then when we sat down again, I said, Mom, Laura just prayed for your leg. She says, that's good, son. She says, because I can't work this one. And I looked, I said, Mom, do that again. She said, what? I said that about your leg. Oh, she said this. Well, I got up and I run around the bed and I threw back the blankets. I said, do it now. And she raised his wee short leg, started going up and down like doing an Irish jig on the bed. And at this point, there was a doctor coming along. And I said, hey, come here and see that. Come here and see my mom. And he looked at me and I said, do it, Mom. And she moved her leg up and down like this, you know. And the doctor, I said, her leg's moving. He said, yeah, evidently so, son. I said, well, it says on the report you can't move it. That's a miracle. That's a miracle, doctor. I said, you may go and change that report now, because my mom moved her leg. That was right there on the spot. So we have seen on the spot miracles. But I don't want you to shoot for that. I want you to shoot for the gift of healings. Because everybody can operate on that. And if you operate on that one, as you pray, the more you pray for, the more confident you become. And the more people you pray, then just pray a general prayer of healing. Are you with me? But as you're praying for the general prayer of healing, every now and then this other thing will rise up inside you. You'll not pray it every time, but every now and then this will rise up inside you. And this, the gift of faith is now operating. And right behind that, you will be able to believe that God can perform a miracle. And if you pray for the miracle at that point, that's when you'll see it happening. We see this all the time. Is anybody ready for this? Amen. Ready? Are you ready? You sure? I really believe this church is ready for this, because you're serious givers. So you just keep on blessing the people and giving and doing all that stuff. But you add this to it now. You add this to it. This will pack your church out. This will pack it out. When people who... The news will travel like wildfire through the community, that people with hip problems, headaches, and people with all types of problems who go all over the place and cannot get relief, they'll drive from Atlanta to come down. I'm telling you now, God is trying to activate the body of Christ into this position. This shift have taken place. This is your season. This is your time. This is it. You can open your home. You can invite people to your home for a little coffee and a little cookie. And then I'm telling you something, you will be people will tell you. You'll just be talking away about the game or whatever, and they'll say, you know, I've had this problem for 20 years. And you'll always think the same. Why are they telling me that? It's simply because there's an anointing on your life now that God will direct people to you so that signs, wonders, and miracles will begin to happen. Are you with me? Now, do you believe it?
Yes.
I thought you would. I think this is a believing church. This is where we're going this morning. God is going to do the most amazing things. So young folks just like you, absolutely, you're a hard worker. You're a hard worker. You've got it together mentally, but it's not just your mental abilities that will get you to where you are. You have such kindness on the inside of you. You've got everything in order. Your room is tidy. Your books are neat. Your writing is even neat. Everything about you is in order. Everything about you is just specifically slotted. I guarantee you're brilliant at maths. You look at me like you could add it all up. You're going places, son. You're going places. You're going to work with finances. And people will trust you with their finances for investment. People will give you money so that you can invest it for them so that money will come. You're a paymaster in the kingdom of God. And God is going to put a lot of money through your hands in your lifetime that you can bless the community and bless people. You're a businessman extraordinaire. Everybody say we need to sit beside him next Sunday. You're a businessman extraordinaire, and you will do the most extraordinary things in this community. And people will respect you. And one day they'll say, would you speak on our behalf? They'll say, we don't know how to do this. Could you? And I see you filling in forms for people that can't even write. I see you standing up on platforms and saying, here's what the people think. You'll stand up for people and you will cause the move of God to happen through them. But God is calling you. Give me your hand. Stand on your feet. God is calling you for the community. He's calling you to be a spokesman in the community. He will give you the edge in this because you will have money left over after you've spent it on other people. So that project in the community that need to be done, they'll come and ask you. God will give you such sway with the people, it'll just be unbelievable, but it is the hand of God. If you'll serve Him all the days of your life, you will see the most magnificent things take place through you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at somebody say, that's a good boy. Are we ready now for this healing gifts? All right, so let's all stand together this morning. Let me pray one prayer, and then here's how we're going to do this. I need to get started because we're running out of time. This side of the building this morning will be dedicated to those who need healing, okay, or a miracle. This really Laura's gift, and so I don't interfere with this. So she'll come over here in just a few minutes. If you've got cancer, incurable disease, or even your children or your family this morning, then we're going to use this corner, especially for the healing ministry. So in just a few minutes when we give you the opportunity, you can line up here and she will pray with you. All right? You got a hold of that? It doesn't take that long. She will just start and she'll work over here. I will be working over here and I'll be prophesying everything that moves, breathes, and squeals. All right? So if you're alive, I'm going to minister you to right here. If you drop dead in the midst of it, then somebody will bring you over here. and Vian will, he's we give him the pleasure of raising you. All right. But the rest of us here, we just want to move through everybody this morning as long as time permits. I'd like to speak a word from the Lord over your life, but I want to activate those gifts first. Now, are you with me? Okay. Now the good bit about this is like a supermarket. So here's what you do. If you're in the healing gift, if you're over here but you still want a word, as soon as you got ministered over there, then you shoot over into this line. Is that okay? All right. And if you're in this line and you need over there, as soon as you get this, then you go over there. Is that okay now? Now I'm regulated the time. I can only say it's so like the time. When it's over, it's over. I cannot help that. I'm just so sorry. I'll just work as fast as I can. I want you to hold somebody's hand right now. Father, this is the body of Christ. This is yours. Probably when I get to prophesy over you, I'll probably tell you what about their gift. But we come this morning to activate the gift in every man and every woman and boy and girl in this building, that they will have testimonies. They will be able to say, will you hear what happened to me last week? They'll be able to say, something good happened. And this woman came to me and she talked to me and she asked me. And you're going to see the most amazing things take place. Absolutely, so are you. You're going to see the most amazing things take place in your life. So nobody will be left out. This is not for the small ones and the tall ones. Don't get it. This is for everybody. This is for you. This is for Griffin. This is for this county. God is about to release you in the most amazing manners. So we ask Holy Spirit this morning that gift of healings, that please God, the gift of healing that will be activated in every man and every woman and every boy and girl in this assembly, from the oldest to the youngest. What does age matter? Who cares? People don't care how old they are when there's cancers crawling through their system, when nobody can sleep at night. They don't care if it's a child or an adult that's praying for them, as long as a miracle takes place. So we begin to believe and we release the healing gifts in through these wonderful people this morning. We release those healing gifts right now into every man, every woman, boy and girl. We believe it this morning to be released in the role that they're standing in, that they will begin to move. I'm going to believe this morning that in the midst of this activation also, that there's people that's assigned to miracles. God, you can trust them. You can trust them. They won't run off with the glory. They'll not become a superstar. They'll not become a celebrity. Jesus, you're the only celebrity there is. You died to give this to us. So we receive that anointing. We activate. We activate the gift right now on the inside of these people, that when the kids come in the next couple of nights for to get their presents or their soup, when they're sick, somebody can lay hands on them. The soup kitchen become a healing kitchen. We're going to believe in this time when they go home this day that we won't go looking for this, but it'll come looking for us. That's how we will know we're in, that somebody will stop us and tell us, and then we'll know and we'll lay hands and we'll begin to hear a report that something happened, that something good has taken place. So we activate it. We activate. Look at somebody say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. We activate that now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, church, you can get happy if you want. But over here, if you're sick bad or bokeh, if you're sick bad, if you've got some illness in your life, over here real quick. Over here real quick. And if you haven't, fantastic. But I hate to see Laura unemployed. I like it when she's praying for feet and she's right down on knees. I like to see that there. But anyway, so if you're sick or ill health, get over here. As for you, okay, here's what we're going to do. Just line up. Just stand up. Come on, line up. Get out here if you want a word from God. If you don't,